This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
I am Ken Tangen. This is episode 35 of What's It Like. My guest is Aaron Walter, who has two first names. And your middle name is Slavistovsky?
No, it's not.
No? Oh, shoot. What's it like growing up with two first names?
I suppose not that unusual. I think, once in a while people get them flipped around, but that's okay.
Did you have a happy childhood?
Yeah, I had a great childhood. When I was a kid, I think I was around six, I started to experiment with drawing and found out that that was something that I really liked. And I remember a specific moment where I'd made a drawing that, my friends really liked, my parents were impressed with, and getting that positive feedback as a kid helps you just understand what your strengths are. And that kind of led me into, college and what I was doing in high school for that. And then later on, I think it informed my career too.
What would have happened if your parents would have said, "Ooh, that's really ugly"?
I probably just would not have, if I wouldn't have gotten the encouragement that they gave me in creative thinking, I probably just would not have taken that path. In which case, one can only imagine the direction that I would have taken, but I would hope that I would have still had a positive outcome, but it definitely would have changed my path.
Mm-hmm. Have any idea what you would become?
I don't know. Maybe something in the sciences.
Hmm. Do you think of yourself as a writer or mostly as a designer?
I guess I'm, I write mainly to help me become a better designer. I think of myself mostly as a designer, as a user experience designer. So I'm designing workflows, designing software and trying to make software more usable and also make it more human. My discipline is human-computer interaction, and I take that very seriously, that, that I'm interfacing, I'm communicating, helping humans. And I'd like to change that to human interaction. So to try to take the computer facade away and make that more transparent to see the human on the other side of that software and create a better experience for people. And I think that especially today and what's happening in our world and technology, we're in this really exciting time that, that becomes a pretty critical job to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. How did your parents impact your worldview?
My parents were always just really supportive in whatever I was doing. And what was great about my parents is even when they didn't get what I'm doing, they gave me encouragement. So if they saw that I was interested and excited about something, they tried to, foster that and let that grow. So my parents, they're not from creative backgrounds. They don't paint or draw or, they do have some creative outlets in their own right, but it's definitely not their background. So I think that, if you're blessed with parents that can be open-minded, and just encouragement is huge for kids, for childhood development.
Did you take art classes when you were a kid?
I did. I took art classes. I was into cartooning and, creating stories and creating characters and stuff. And my mom took me to some cartooning classes in the summer when I was a kid. And then, I took a lot of classes in junior high and high school, a lot of art classes. Then I also, my parents helped me set up a studio in the basement so I could just do a lot of painting on my own.
But you didn't pursue it as a profession?
I did. I got an undergrad and graduate degree in painting, and that very much informed what I do today. And I don't think that I'd be the same person if I had not done that. Because what you learn in art school is to think creatively, to look at problems, and you're thinking laterally, you're finding connections, you're building stories, and you're problem solving in a very powerful way that I think a lot of people don't use their brains that way. So I don't paint today, but I do draw, and I use drawing every day. I draw every day in my job.
Did you have a major challenge in school, or was it pretty easy for you?
Yeah, school was tough. I really hated high school. I was not a big fan of it. I felt sort of like a fish out of water socially in high school, just because I'd moved a lot as a kid, and that was a really great thing because it taught me how to meet new people, make connections with new people, which has always been, you know, a good life skill to have. But I didn't really feel an emotional connection to a lot of folks I went to school with, so that made it a little bit difficult for me. But I don't know. I did okay, you know, academically. I wasn't the valedictorian or anything, but I worked hard and, you know, I did okay.
Was it easier in college?
Well, college, it's a lot harder. College is a lot more difficult. It required a lot of effort, a lot of work. Plus I had, you know, I was paying my own way through school and I worked two jobs. So I had a lot of friends who did not have jobs in school and they were given a lot of money and they had a harder time getting through college, even though they had less time constraints, fewer time constraints and many more resources. They actually struggled more. And my limitations actually empowered me, I think, because they sort of forced me to use my time wisely and I had clear consequences. So I think that's a good thing, you know, when students are struggling to make their way through school. Sometimes limitations are a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. Now that you've survived childhood, what constitutes family for you?
I have a wife and I have a one-year-old.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so we're, you know, our first kid, he's teaching us a lot and challenging us a lot.
Standing, saying single words?
Yeah, he is. He's talking a lot. He's walking, discovering new things, learning sign language, and it's pretty great.
Hmm. What was it like to become a father?
I found out that all the cliches are very much true. The cliches of it goes so fast, very, very true. Because there's just so many major events. Every day is a major event. Mm-hmm. So it all just blows by really fast. And even within a month's time, you know, a child can change so dramatically in what they can do, what they can understand, how they can respond to you, that time, your perception of time definitely shifts. You know, it changes your perspective on life, on your priorities of what's important to you. Helps you very much appreciate your parents and the work that they put in to put me here today. You know, because you sort of take it for granted that that's just what they're supposed to do. That's what they do. And you look for, you know, areas where they fell short. And, you know, when you become a parent, you get it. You know, it's like, I have flaws. I'm not perfect. I don't know how to do this. And but I'm going to do my best. And it's just really, it gives you really healthy perspective on life.
Mm-hmm. You don't work in rocket science, but you work for rocket science?
Yeah, the name of the company that I work for is called the Rocket Science Group. Once upon a time, it was a design agency that became a company that makes web applications. So the application that we make a lot of different smaller applications, but the big one that people would recognize is MailChimp. So it's an application that people use to create a mailing list, design emails and send them, and then track the success of those emails, and then even connect those to Twitter and Facebook and other social network tools.
So not so much if you were doing your baseball team as if you were doing it for marketing purposes?
Actually, both. We do have, you know, if it's a little league team, they use our application to, email all the families and players and stuff. So it could be small folks like that. It could be small businesses like the local coffee shop. And it can be really big businesses like the BBC.
Mm-hmm. Wow. A real mix of customers.
Yeah, it is. And our goal is, I mentioned earlier my philosophy on software design. Our goal is to try to make it, you know, email can be easy, powerful, and fun.
So what exactly do you do?
So I'm the user experience design lead. And I lead a team of, I think we're about 5 or 6 people now. So I have a mix of people that write code, right? HTML, CSS, JavaScript, a little bit of server-side code like PHP. So they mostly build out the interface. I have designers, people that understand typography and color and illustration and layout. And then I also have on my team one design researcher, which is a discipline where you're coming up with a design and then you're testing your assumptions, your hypotheses about that design in front of users. So you come up with an interface and then you build that out as a prototype, or you build it out all the way. And then you have people use it and see what happens. See if they get confused, see if they get frustrated, lost, if it's easy to learn, easy to remember. And then where we find problems, we come up with, we brainstorm on new ways to make that easier to understand. So that might mean writing some fancy code to create a simple interaction or to automate something so people don't have to think about a series of choices. Or it might mean just writing a sentence more clearly. So we use a lot of different skills, a lot of writing, a lot of communication. We also find ourselves talking to a lot of different areas of the company. We talk to developers who write a lot of code, executives who are, you know, doing strategy and running the company, support staff. And so we have to speak a lot of different languages and wear different hats to talk to all these people and coordinate efforts to try to make this software meet our promise, which is that it's going to be easy, powerful, and fun.
Your logo is a cartoon or cartoonish. Did you create that?
I did not. The illustrator that made, his name's Freddy, is our chimp, the mascot. And that was created by a guy named John Hicks. And you probably would recognize some of his other work. If you use the browser, the Firefox browser, mm-hmm. He did that illustration as well.
Ah. So you get to work with lots of different designers as well as people inside your group?
I do, yeah. I mean, we have a whole another design department called Design Lab that works on MailChimp.com. Not the application, but we call it the product website that has all the information about the application. It's where people sign up for the application and stuff. So they do a lot of experimental design stuff. They'll even do stuff like design skate decks or t-shirts or, you know, all kinds of different crazy stuff.
But your focus is on the application itself?
Correct, on the application and the interface.
Mm-hmm. What's the best thing about your job?
I think that there's two things. And if I were to give advice for, you know, for anyone that's looking to find a career, if you don't really know what your career is going to be, the things that I love best about my job and that keep me excited when I wake up in the morning are the fact that I am always challenged and I get to think creatively. And I think even if you don't consider yourself creative in the traditional sense of, you know, you play the violin, you paint, you sculpt, even if the fine arts are not your forte, creative thinking is such an important part of a healthy life. And being challenged to just feel like what you're doing is interesting, and hopefully you get a sense that it's meaningful, that what you're doing is useful to someone, that you're applying your skills, your trade, your craft to do something that helps other human beings. And that could be in a very profound way if you were to do something like, you know, work for a nonprofit, or you could be doing something that's like in software design where, no, I'm not feeding a homeless person, but what I am doing is helping people run their businesses. And that helps them be successful, be better at what they do. And that puts food on their table and helps their families. And at the very least, you know, our application has a sense of humor, personality, there are jokes and so forth. If I can brighten someone's day who might not have the most fulfilling job, if I can put a smile on their face when they're sitting in that dark cubicle, then I think that's a good thing. That makes me feel good about what I'm doing. If I can impart just a tiny bit of joy in someone else's life, even if it's on a small scale.
What has surprised you about your job?
I guess just the fact that I'm in the job. You know, there are definitely points, if I look back on my life, I see clear forks in the road. A specific moment, a specific conversation, where I talk to someone, I mentioned something, I took a particular action that led me to where I am. And I'm, you know, I couldn't be more happy about, you know, what I do and the life that I get to live, because I feel like it's just a very, it's a very rewarding life. But, you know, there are points where if I had not, for instance, the reason why, how I got this job is I went to a conference. I went to South by Southwest in 2007, and I was a professor. At the time, I'd been teaching at the Art Institute of Atlanta. I was teaching this class called Findability. And it was a class about how people find websites, but it's not just search engine optimization. It's like using social network tools and writing copy and all kinds of different ways that could direct people to a website. And I felt like that was not really addressed. And I had a hard time finding a textbook for my class. So when I was at this conference, I just went to this this trade show booth for a publisher that I really respect. And I walked up to a guy and I said, "Hey, you know, I've got an idea about a book. Who do I talk to about that?" And he said, "Well, that would be me." And the guy I was talking to was a senior acquisitions editor for Peach Pit, New Writers in Berkeley, California. And so, I mean, he was the perfect guy for me to pitch a book idea to. And he was interested and they signed me. I wrote this book. That book, while I was writing it, I was talking to the CEO of MailChimp, who had been a guest speaker in some of my classes. And when I called him up about this book that, you know, in which I was going to write about MailChimp, he said, "Well, would you like a job?" And I said, "Well, yeah, let's talk about it." And, you know, it turns out that's what happened. But, you know, it's these moments where, you know, I just, all I did was walk up and talk to someone. All I did was give myself the permission to have an idea and take a chance and talk to someone about it and see if they find that interesting. And they did. And then that continues to snowball into new exciting opportunities. So if there's, you know, one takeaway there is, you know, life is serendipity. I believe in that to a certain degree, but it's also to a large part, you know, just giving a shot, because you don't really have much to lose. So that's, I guess, the most shocking part of my job.
We'll have more with Aaron right after I remind you of the good work being done by the American Red Cross. If you ever need an operation, you'll be glad people have donated their blood to help you. So I want to remind you to give blood and to donate to the American Red Cross. They've been doing good for a long time. When my parents were prisoners of war, one of the things that saved their lives was a package they got from the American Red Cross. Somewhere in the world today, there are people you can help through the Red Cross. And don't forget to get prepared yourself for emergency situations. Go to the store and check out their personal safety emergency pack. Do yourself a favor and give to the American Red Cross. Go to redcross.org. Thanks. So, Aaron, everyone has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
I don't know that I actually struggle from the opposite problem, which is I have a very hard time saying no, and I find myself overbooked and too busy. But in terms of motivation and inspiration, creativity, those sorts of things, I think that the best way to think about these sorts of things are as like calisthenics, where you have clear repeating goals and just simple exercises you do. So, you know, things like photo a day, you know, 500 words a day if you're writing, whatever it is, whatever your discipline is, just having a simple task to do every day and make that task, make it achievable. You want it to be a little bit difficult, but not impossible. I feel like the more that you get into that habit, it's not that you're trying to necessarily produce or create some outcome by doing that. But what you're doing is making it very easy, so when it does come time to produce, that you're prepared. Our brain is not exactly like our muscles, but there's one thing that's similar, is that if we exercise our muscles, our body kind of changes shape to prepare. It thinks like, this is what I have to do all the time, so I have to devote my resources to better be able to do this task. And your brain, you know, if you go through these calisthenics, you know, of doing something creative, doing something that's engaging, that kind of challenges you every day, then that sort of snowballs. And when it comes time to write a book, when it comes time to do something more challenging, it doesn't feel that hard. It doesn't feel that painful.
Let me turn the question around. When you have to soothe yourself, how do you calm yourself down?
I sit on my hammock. That's my new stress reliever. We just hung up a hammock at my house recently. And
you live in the South, right?
I live in the South. I have a hammock under a magnolia tree right next to a gardenia bush, which is blooming right now. It's mint julep time. That is where I go to just let it all go. You know, having outlets like that is good. But I try to do my best. I'm very connected all the time with my phone, my iPhone, my iPad, my computer. You know, my life is centered around technology, but more importantly, my life is centered around my family. And so when I shift gears from work time to family time, I just sort of have to say to myself, okay, now I'm putting this down and I'm here and I'm going to be present.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Yes, though I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it. I've had, a lot of events that have challenged me. You know, the first book I wrote was hard. I had to be away from my wife a lot. It was very difficult. I had a challenging team, you know, that really pushed me, and we had a fast turnaround time. So I'd say that was difficult, and it sort of made me, I guess it changed my standard of what is my best work. You know, that when you're trying to do something that's really, really difficult, and then you get to the end of that, you realize, oh, I can do that. Yeah, I think that's probably the best answer I can give.
If you're giving a commencement address for high school or college, what would be your best advice? What would you say?
I think I might have already said it, which is, you know, whatever your path, you always want to stay challenged. And you always want to feel like you're doing something that's meaningful in the world. You know, it's very much a cliche, you know, life is too short for X. And it's just very true that if you're dissatisfied in what you're doing, you should stop that right now. You should run, don't walk, to do something new and, you know, find your way to something that is more meaningful to you, to the world. Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of people that are just very content to do whatever. And I think that's sort of, it's too bad, you know, especially with our jobs. We spend so much of our lives in our job. And if our jobs are just a means to the end, just to, you know, make a buck so you can go do something else, I think there are situations where that can be great. I've known people who had jobs that paid pretty well for 6 months. They'd work really hard, you know, kind of like their job, and then take basically the rest of the year off and go sailing or traveling around the world. That's pretty smart. I think that's an independent way of thinking about how to live life. So I think that, you know, if I were giving advice, don't be complacent, always be challenged. And it's when you're comfortable, when you're mentally comfortable, if you think you have it all figured out, that's when you're absolutely lost and you need to take a different direction.
I believe ideas can be life-changing. Is there an idea that has changed your life?
I think so. So I taught for 10 years, and I think that just the idea of teaching, the idea of researching a subject and knowing it so well that you can do more than just do it for yourself, but you can explain it from many angles for people with many different backgrounds. The idea of teaching, the idea of sharing information, that's really at the heart of what the web is and why I'm so attracted to it as a medium. And I think that that's been a common thread in my life as a teacher and now as an interface designer, as a writer, as a speaker. You know, it's not enough for me to just research and work on design. I need to put that into words. I need to sum it up, and I need to share it with people. That's a very important thing to me.
I want to thank Aaron Walter for joining me. Thanks, Aaron. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.